I hope you slept well last night, because you may never sleep again after watching this. I'm going to show you what a real demon looks like in our world. If I asked you to picture a devil, I think a lot of you would go to, like, him from Powerpuff Girls, like just that really classic red monster with horns. But in real life, that's not what a devil looks like. This is what it looks like. Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland is a preacher, evangelist, whom I've referenced many times in the past, that exploits religion for financial gain. He is extraordinarily wealthy by taking advantage of the people in his faith. And he does all of it with a smile on his face and an attitude that resembles just pure evil. He is what I believe to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, as they say. Let me show you one of his most famous interviews, which is going viral again, which is why I wanted to talk about it, where he was interviewed by Inside Edition about his lavish lifestyle.
How are you, sir? We'd just like to ask you about why you don't want to fly commercial. Why have you said that you won't fly commercial? You said that it's like getting into a tube with a bunch of demons. Why do you think that?
Yeah, he's one of those private jet preachers that I always like to insult and call attention to the hypocrisy of. People like him, these evangelists or heads of mega churches that live a life of outrageous luxury financed off the backs of those in their congregation who are donating under the guise that it's going to help further their faith or help the church or something like that, when really all it's doing is enabling them to live a lavish lifestyle, it always just makes me sick to my stomach. It runs so counter to the Bible that I have no doubt in my mind they will likely be going to hell without God even giving them a consideration of entering the pearly fucking gates up there. It is deplorable. It is just diabolical stuff. And yet, it is so common. I just recently talked about an online pastor who blamed his cryptocurrency scam on God, saying that God made him make a shitcoin to scam the people that follow him. Which has to be one of the most blasphemous things you can ever say as a pastor, but he had the gall, the fucking chutzpah, to blame the crypto scam on the Lord. And you're going to see this a lot throughout this interview, and if you ever dive into this rabbit hole of corrupt pastors, they always use their connection with God as the excuse. Well, God actually wants me to have a whole fleet of private jets. It's actually very Christian to be wealthy. And it's just a complete bastardization of what the Bible's supposed to teach.
No, listen to me just a second. Not the people. The main reason is because of the need. If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing.
Baloney. What a load of horseradish. You wouldn't have to stop 65% of what you're doing if you flew commercial. You can fly commercial and still reach all of the same places. There are more planes in the sky right now than there is poop in my butt. And trust me, there's a lot of poop in there, because I haven't taken my morning shit yet. You can fly commercial and still do all of the same work you've been doing. And it's not like you're doing important work, Kenneth. All you do is you're basically like this Dementor who sucks money out of everywhere he goes. That's not important work. You're just perverting Christianity to fit your own agenda of making as much doubloons as you possibly can accrue in this lifetime.
Isn't it true that you want to fly commercial so that you can fly in luxury? How much money did you pay for Tyler Perry's Gulfstream jet, for example?
Well, for example, that's really none of your business, but...
Isn't it the business of your donors?
Listen, I paid. You kind of caught me off guard here, okay?
Certainly. Well, if you'd like to come out here, I'd like to give you a chance to catch your breath and...
He's floundering here because he knows there's really no way of justifying this when actually confronted with the question. He usually relies on the Bible as a shield from criticism, so all the people in his faith, if they question him, he says, oh, well, you're questioning God. But now he's actually getting interviewed by someone who's done their research and is actually talking to him about how his lifestyle is the complete opposite of what the Bible talks about. And he doesn't really know how to defend it, because there's no way of doing that. It's also very telling the way he views all the people around him, by calling them demons in a tube when talking about flying commercial and why he just won't do it, because he can't stand to be around people in general. He just wants to use them for his own financial gain. It's a fucking sickening perspective. And his mannerisms, the way that he does these like creepy smiles and his gestures, all of it is so menacing.
And have a conversation. We don't want to catch you off guard.
I love Inside Edition. You got to get this now. Hey, you listen to me? My wife thinks Inside Edition is, oh, yeah. Now.
That'll send a shiver down your spine. The way he acts and the way he sounds, all of it is what I imagine it would look and sound like if a demon was ever made flesh on this planet. He is what I would picture the Antichrist looking and acting like. Oh, it's just like disturbing listening to him speak. My wife thinks Inside Edition is, oh yeah! What does that even mean? Like, he's clearly trying his best to, like, suck their cock. Like, Inside Edition is incredible. I can't believe you guys would do this to me when I'm such a fan of yours. It's just weird. It's so off-putting. Everything about him feels so fake and sinister.
Thank you, Lord. Help me. Just let me pray. Just
let me just ask you a really simple question. A lot of people think it's unbecoming for a preacher to live a life of luxury and to fly around in private jets. What's your response to that?
Very simple. It takes a lot of money to do what we do. We have brought over 100. Let's see. The latest figures just came out. 122 million people to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Can you show me the Carfax on that? I'd really like to see the data to support that claim. What I think happened is you brought in $122 million. That's not necessarily bringing people to the faith, you know what I mean? That's more like bringing the clams to the bank, is what it seems more to me. I really appreciate the Inside Edition interviewer not pulling any punches, just playing hardball here. She is absolutely cooking Kenneth. She is slapping his cheeks on the grill and whipping up a fine ass patty here at the barbecue today. Watching Kenneth squirm is priceless, and you're going to see his defense mechanism, as it is for a lot of these corrupt pastors, is always like, I need to pray, hold on, wait a minute, I'm getting a message from God, it's a transmission into my cerebral cortex, hold on a minute! And then he's like, oh Lord, I pray, wait, hold on a second, Inside Edition, he's... Shit, I'm getting overcome with the faith again. He said I need another private jet. Oh, yeah. Like, it's one of those things where in the middle of being confronted with an indefensible statement or an indefensible act, they desperately cling to, hold on, I gotta pray real quick. Like, no, I'm a good person because God's talking to me and I gotta pray. I'm so overcome with it. I've gotta pray. And you see that time and time again when it comes to this. It's pathetic. And it's honestly an affront to God, I would imagine, to try and use him as your get-out-of-jail-free card. That shit, again, that's got to be blasphemous. It's got to be.
Without the airplane that we have that I bought from Tyler Perry, and I didn't pay anywhere, and Tyler's one of the greatest guys, he made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
Case closed. It was such a good deal, he was losing people's money by not investing it in that private jet. Man... Thank God for Tyler. I have no doubt the good Lord put Tyler in the position he's in today just so he could give Kenneth Copeland a private jet at a great deal to continue to spread the good word and the gospel.
Well, my question then, okay, all right, but I want to get to the demons because people are very concerned about that comment.
Give me a chance here, Inside Edition. Okay. I love your eyes. And
I don't know what all this was here. It was like a cat playing with a toy. He was just like swatting at her or something to get her to stop. And then he gives her a random compliment out of nowhere. Just like a rogue statement. You have great eyes. What the fuck is that? Why are you so unhinged? He's all over the place here.
Here's what happened. We flew in 21 days, 70 hours, 40,000 miles, touched 5 continents, and preached face to face personally with 125,000 people.
Do you ever...
What in the fuck are you yapping about? What are you blabbering on about? That has nothing to do with your statement about the demons in the tube from commercial airlines you can't be caught dead around. This is a nothing burger. What are you talking about? This is, again, dodging it and just putting it on like, oh, we do great work. Work that can only be accomplished through the use of a private jet. We couldn't reach all of these places commercial. It wouldn't make any sense. It's got to be a private jet. A very luxurious one so I can be closer to God up there in heaven. It's fucking ridiculous.
Do you ever use your private jets to go visit your vacation homes, for example?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Again, getting back to the comment, you said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. Do you really believe that human beings are demons?
No, I do not. And don't you ever say I did. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers.
He was so close to letting the mask slip off his face right there in that moment. I really thought he was about to reach over and start strangling her like Homer Simpson to Bart. Like, he gets the finger out and he gets really stern and serious. That look that he gives her, that would strike fear in the hearts of anyone. His facial expressions are so exaggerated, he's like a Pixar character. The way that he's able to constantly have these wide range of emotions that he conveys like that. The way he flips from infuriated to, like, smiling at her in the creepiest way possible, it's alarming. Everything about this guy should be sending you into a fight-or-flight response. As opposed to just throwing money at him, it should be running away from him.
Can you explain what you meant by that, by that term then? Just explain, because it's really simple. You said you didn't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. What did you mean?
Well, let me ask you.
Do you think that people that fly commercial are demons?
If you give me a chance to talk, sweetheart, I'll explain this to you. But it's a biblical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It doesn't have anything to do with people. People, I love people. Jesus loves people.
That's probably the first truthful thing he's ever said in his life. I have no doubt that Kenneth Copeland loves people. Because people are the ones that finance his lavish lifestyle. They pay for his private jet vacations that he goes on all the fucking time out the wazoo. So I know he loves people. I'd argue there's only one thing Kenneth Copeland loves more than people. Wallets. And sticking his dick in there and just fucking them raw, taking as much money out of it as you can possibly find through misleading them through the faith and exploiting them and taking advantage of them. That's the only thing that he loves more than just people in general would be my bet. So, again, he will not just answer the question of what he meant by being in a tube with a bunch of demons on it. And the Inside Edition interviewer continues to press that, which I really appreciate. He continues to just tiptoe around it. Oh, let me ask you a question. No, goofball. Just answer it yourself. Just say what you meant. Say it with your whole chest.
But people get pushed in alcohol. Do you think that's a good place for a preacher to be and prepare to go preach to a lot of people when somebody in there is dragging some woman down an aisle? It made me so mad to see that on television. I wanted to punch the guy out myself. I can't be doing that while I'm getting ready to preach.
So you just don't like to be around the sinful people or the hurtful people. Is that what you're saying?
Not the people, baby. Not the people. Back during the days that we couldn't do anything else, we had to travel commercial.
The saddest period in his life when he had to fly commercial. God bless, I can't believe he made it out alive with that. Yeah, that's horrifying. But again, Kenneth, you're directly referencing people when you're talking about this. You gave an example of a man dragging someone down the aisle. Like, what? You're literally talking about people and you're like, no, not the people. What the fuck are you talking about? And he brings up, like, alcohol. I can't be around alcohol in commercial. That's not a good place for a preacher. What the fuck? The reason he won't just say what we all know he meant is because he knows that even the most brainwashed in his following would hear that and get a very bad impression of it. Because he is basically calling them demons. And that could potentially hurt his bottom line.
We wrestle not with people, but with principalities and powers, unseen things, rulers of the darkness of this world. Talking about the devil, he's a very real devil, just the same as Jesus is a very real Lord.
Yeah, I'm starting to agree, Kenneth. I feel like I'm watching an interview with the devil right now. He continues again to just try and start spouting sermons that are pretty unrelated to this whole thing. He then talks about how many jets they have, and, well, he still has no way of defending it in any meaningful capacity. Because you can't really defend it, because there is no universe where a preacher needs this level of wealth to do what they do. It's gluttonous. That's a sin, Kenneth. It's corruption. Blatant corruption. And it comes from, at least partly, from the donations of just normal people that go to these mega churches or go to these traveling evangelists, that kind of shit. It comes from them trying to better their life. But they're doing it through a con man who's taking advantage of that desire. And it's fucking sad. It always makes me furious. Kenneth Copeland is one of my least favorite people on the planet and has been for the better part of a decade. I've talked about Kenneth for a long time now, and I'm sure I will continue to do so because this guy is going to most likely live forever because he is propped up by the puppet strings of Lucifer himself. So this guy, he's probably going to outlast everybody on this planet at some point.
But the main thing that happened was not, that wasn't the main reason. The main reason was I could no longer do what I called to do and be on the airlines. Besides that, I need my clothes when I get there.
And you have some fancy clothes. I mean, for a pastor, you are living a life of luxury.
Yes,
you've got great homes. You've got great planes.
You
drive in limos.
I'm a very wealthy man.
You're a very wealthy man.
Yes.
Cool, I guess. If I was someone that was putting money into the church and what I believe would be a man of God, I think the number one thing I wouldn't want to hear is that he just uses it to be a wealthy man with a bunch of really fancy clothes, cars, and private jets. Feels like it defeats the whole purpose, don't you think? I also can't help but focus on his turkey neck that keeps jiggling every time he speaks. It's like paper in a strong gust of wind constantly. His neck, like there's so much loose skin on it. It looks like the rudder to a boat or something, and it just keeps fucking flapping around and it distracts me.
My wealth doesn't come from offerings alone.
You sell things, books and DVDs.
Yes, and I have a lot of natural gas on our property. Didn't know that, did you, babe?
Now I do.
Yeah, you do. Isn't that wonderful?
You realize that you still just did a big self-report there, don't you, Kenneth? You said that your wealth doesn't come from offerings alone, which means some of it does, which means some of your wealth is taken directly from the offerings of those in your churches and those that believe that what they're doing is for the greater good of the faith, not to line your pockets. You openly just admitted to that.
But it will run something in the neighborhood of 20, 25 million in the poor. Can't do that and be broke.
So final question is, a lot of people maybe have a misunderstanding then about what you do in prosperity preaching. So the final question is this, to those critics that say that a preacher should not be living a life of luxury, what is your response to that?
They're wrong.
That's it?
Enough said. Hey, checkmate. Now give him more money for being wrong and hurting his feelings so he can get himself a new private jet to dry his tears with. He says that he invests 20 to 25 million in the poor. What? What do you do? How do you help them? Seems like you just take money from everybody. What do you do with that 20 to 25 million that you apparently invest in the poor? I looked it up and I couldn't really find anything on that. There's really no information on it. I'm super curious now. Seems like just kind of a lie. Maybe invest 20 to 25 million in like smaller businesses that serve less wealthy areas or something. I have no clue, but I can't find anything where he's like directly helping anybody except himself, actually.
It's a misunderstanding of the Bible, that if you go into the Old Covenant, do you think the Jewish people believe you should be broke?
Are you saying that Jewish people appreciate money more than...
Really? No, they believe in wealth.
Some people would find that offensive.
No, wait a minute now. I'm not talking about some people. I'm talking about the Bible.
Shit's getting really weird now, and Kenneth Copeland is clearly struggling and sweating. This has nothing to do with the Bible either, by the way, because the Bible makes it clear in no uncertain terms that this house of worship should never be used as a place for, like, financial benefit for those involved. Like, you know that moment a lot of people recall from the Bible where Jesus flips a table? They might forget why that happened, so I'm going to go ahead and post this. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. This has been brought up before, and I have seen a lot of slimy excuses and really weird interpretations of that to still justify taking a ton of money from people in the church. But the way I always interpreted that, and really the way I was kind of taught when I was still very religious back when I was growing up, like I mentioned, I actually got baptized twice in case the Lord slept through the first one, like if his alarm didn't go off to watch it. I did it twice just to ensure. But with this, I was always under the impression that the lesson is that the faith should never be used as just a way of making money from people through it.
The Bible also says that it's more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, correct?
The rest of the scripture. But he said, all things are possible with God.
I thought that was a really good dunk from the reporter there that Kenneth Copeland tries to weasel his way out of. I don't think it's a really good excuse, though. That's kind of a cop-out. Oh yeah, you know, it does say that in the Bible, but it also says anything's possible through the power of God. When that's an excuse, you see a lot of terrible pieces of shit use. What's the expression? Sin 6 days of the week, ask forgiveness on the seventh, repeat the cycle? Something like that. He's basically just saying, like, yeah, no, it does say that in me taking all this money from these people, maybe it is sinful, but hey, anything's possible through the power of God, I'll probably still get into heaven because he forgives anything. So who cares? I'll do what I want and then ask for forgiveness and get it.
Both of my grandfathers were preachers. They were both very poor. They lived simple, modest lives. They were extremely offended by men that made money like you do, preaching like you do. What would your response be to people that think that preachers shouldn't live this kind of a lifestyle? Folks like both my grandfathers.
And I understand that. And I love them with all my heart. It's your grandfathers that we're standing on their shoulders.
Not exactly an inspiring thing to say. It's your grandfathers that I've built my empire on top of, the preachers that were actually doing some good work and being genuine people. Well, I was able to exploit that good reputation for myself. I'm standing on their shoulders. It's thanks to them. They're the real heroes. Like, oh my God, they're turning over in their grave right now hearing that statement. That is abhorrent.
Sir, thank you so much for your time.
What's your
today.
Name?
Lisa Guerrero.
Lisa? God bless. Father bless Lisa today. Thank you for her grandparents. I love Inside Edition. I love the people on it. And it thrills me to get a chance to have my face on Inside Edition.
Thank you very much,
you,
Reverend.
Girl.
You have a nice day.
Yes, ma'am.
That's where the interview concludes. And I think Kenneth Copeland is a real asshole. I think that guy is evil. Everything about him is exactly what I would picture a demon on this earth disguising itself as, to a T. It's almost cartoonish how evil his aura is. So yeah, anyway, that's really about it. So yeah.